The Burt Show.
All right, so as I understand it, you got mother-in-law here hooking up with dudes while she's supposed to be watching her granddaughter.
Ooh. Grandma's getting busy.
But she's bringing
Bound
random dudes
grandma.
Over
there.
voice disguiser?
Yeah, and she may need a fake name.
Definitely.
Okay.
How about Carol?
That's cool, too. It doesn't Perfect. Matter.
What's up? What's yeah. going on?
Well, a couple weeks ago, actually, my sister-in-law came for a visit. She lives with my mother-in-law. And she told me that my mother-in-law had been having men in and out of her house all day, basically, I guess, sleeping with him or them while my daughter was there and while her husband was not there.
Oh, so is grandma an escort or just...
She's just a very active person.
Only on this show will you hear that question asked. So is grandma an escort?
Tomorrow's Maury.
Go ahead, go up and down the dial and try to find that statement somewhere else.
That's true.
So she's just a very active grandma. Now, grandpa's not part of the whole equation here?
No, definitely not. She remarried. My father-in-law actually lives in Kentucky now. They divorced about 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. She actually left him for the man she is married to now.
Oh, so grandma's married again. So,
yeah.
So this she's new just, guy...
Yeah, she's been married about 4 times.
So she's cheating on this new guy with guys, and she's doing the cheating while your daughter is there.
Yes.
All right, let's define grandma to you. Are we talking about somebody in their 50s, or are we talking about somebody in their 70s?
She's probably in her mid-50s.
Okay. And she's your husband's mom?
Yes.
Husband's mom. And the sister-in-law is husband's sister?
Yes.
Okay.
And does your husband know that his mom is messing around with other dudes in the house while the baby's there?
Yes, he does know. He's actually deployed to Afghanistan right now. He actually called me the night that I found out about all this, and I was just so upset. And so I confided in him about it, and he was just very, very upset because he thought that his mother was going through some soul changing right before he left, and she vowed that she was changing and all that stuff and would never go back to her old ways. But obviously, she's going back to her old ways.
I want to ask you, in the beginning of the conversation, you talked about the way you found out was your sister-in-law brought your mother-in-law over and told you. Was it almost like she drug her over to give the confession?
Oh, no. My mother-in-law was not there when sister-in-law told me.
Okay.
My sister-in-law found out that week because she saw somebody leaving the house, so she kind of just drug it out of her mom.
Okay.
So when she came to tell me, she was upset, and which made me really, really upset. It's just a big mess.
All right, let me give the phone number out here. 1-877-588-BERT, B-E-R-T, 1-877-588-2378. So, I mean, my knee-jerk reaction is, why don't you just, I mean, because obviously your husband's upset about it too,
yes.
And you're the only one that can really do about something about it face-to-face. Why don't you just tell moms or just not have her watch the kids anymore?
Well, because if her husband ever found out, the reason why she can't watch my daughter anymore, he would just totally flip out and hit the roof.
Who cares? Like,
yeah, but I think what she's with her, if I remember correctly from your email, the concern is with your husband kind of preoccupied right now.
Yeah.
Like she doesn't want to create a situation where she pulls the kid out and then father-in-law is going to say, how come the kid's not coming to hang out anymore? And then she's going to have to come up with something. If it's a lie, then that's going to create drama because father-in-law is going to be like, what are you talking about? You know, like there's no reason why the kid wouldn't stay there anymore. And if she tells the truth, that's going to create drama. So I think she's looking for a drama-free
Definitely.
Out. Does that make sense?
Well, it wouldn't be your place to tell the grandpa-in-law anyways. It would have to be her explanation. So if you went to her, pull the kid out, she would have to then explain to him, not you.
How
right.
often does she see?
Exactly.
How often does she take care of your daughter?
Just a couple of times a week. My mother actually watches my daughter all the time, because she's a stay-at-home mom, grandma, whatever you want to call her. But I let my daughter go over there to my mother-in-law's house a few times a week so they can spend some time with her.
Mm-hmm. All right, and once again, how old is your child?
She's 4 months old.
4 months old. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is there any way that the sister-in-law would not be telling you the truth?
Oh,
you don't...
No. She's very, very honest. And for her to come to me that upset, obviously something's up.
How long is your husband deployed for this tour?
He'll be back home in November.
Okay. Because I just feel like with 4 months old, it's not as if the 4 month old's relationship with the grandmother in law right now is at risk because she's not really remembering anything. So, you know, I'm wondering if there's a way to kind of pull her out with your mom and just say your mom wanted to see her more or something and just kind of try to keep it all cool until November.
For the safety of your kid, you got to pull your daughter out. I mean,
oh, definitely, yeah. She's like, not been back over there.
No, like if she's like hooking up with other dudes, then a 4.5 month old is like just sitting there on their own, yeah. Or like in the room, even worse.
Oh God, yeah.
And there's no way out of this that's seamless.
No,
I don't know if you're looking for a lie, but there's no way out of this that's going to be seamless at all. And I understand that your husband's in Afghanistan and you don't want to shake him up and everything, but. It's going to be a lot worse if you have to call him and say something happened to our child because the mother-in-law brought somebody over that she shouldn't. Hey, yeah. Jenny, good morning. You're on the Burt Show.
Hey, how are you all?
Okay, good. Thanks. Let me get phone number out one more time. 1-877-588-BERT, B-E-R-T, or 2378. Go ahead.
I just wanted to give her a little advice on what to tell the step-grandfather-in-law. I would just say, you know, you want your child to start at an early age getting a little socialization and maybe put the baby in like a regular daycare for a couple days a week. That way, because my daughter started daycare at like 3 months and she's the most social little girl. She's 3 years old. She's fabulous.
I think the baby's getting good socialization. Yeah. There's a big revolving door of people coming through that.
Sounds like it. Some of those guys could be real skeezes.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
You don't want your baby around a bunch of strange men you don't know about.
That's not cool.
Definitely.
What were you going to say, Carter?
Oh, I was just making a joke about how she was going to be, you know, she's exposed to a lot more, you know, now that she's been around.
You don't have a lot of wiggle room here. You have got to do something before something really, really, really bad happens.
Yeah.
Well, she's already taken, I mean, she said that she's not over at the grandmother's house anymore, so that's the issue. I think, is it true now that the issue is how to handle this with the grandmother in law, so that your husband doesn't have to deal with it in Afghanistan?
Well, my mother-in-law is a very drama-oriented person. Now that my daughter hasn't been over there for the past couple of weeks, she's just, you know, screaming that, you know, I hate her, and she doesn't know why God's doing this to her, and
God's going to
punish me and my husband, and she's just, oh, God.
I understand that. Well, see, that's where it's okay now to tell her what you know, because that'll shut her up.
Boy, will it.
Maybe.
I mean, seriously, because, I mean, that's, her. People, if she's going to be drama, then it's like, well, you have that hanging over her head.
The problem with that is people who like drama like that would turn it into something. Like, if you tell her that, then all of a sudden she's running around throwing her hands up in the air about these allegations from her daughter-in-law.
She wouldn't want those allegations, because she knows they're the truth, so she would not say anything, because she wouldn't want the allegations out.
Hey, Melissa, good morning. You're on the Burt Show.
I just don't understand, why is the grandmother's feelings even at play here? I mean, this should be about protecting the child.
Agreed.
There is no way that I would allow someone with this kind of influence in my child's life with this kind of behavior. I mean, it just would not be acceptable.
Well, it's still a family member you have to deal with. And the child's safety is taken care of because she's not back over there.
Right.
And she's not going back over there. But this is still your mother-in-law.
One more call here. Hey, Ryan, good morning. You're on the Burt Show.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Now, my question is how many men are coming to the house? And is the child awake, crawling around the floor in a crib, and visibly
doesn't matter how many
come in the house?
Why does that even matter, Ryan?
I mean, because the point is, the child is four months old. I really don't think the child knows what's going on. And maybe the sister-in-law is not telling everything correctly.
Whether she's awake or asleep, anything could happen while she's not watching my kid.
And you don't know And you don't know the character of these guys. These guys could be, who knows where they're
creepers.
Coming from.
But Ryan, you're saying this shouldn't be such a big deal.
And I do understand that, yes, she is. She is watching the child. It's just like, for instance, if you're watching your child and one of your friends coming over, if your child is asleep, you're not in the same room with your child.
Yeah, to me,
I'm guessing he doesn't.
Away from her hours and hours at a time while I'm entertaining somebody else. I go to check on her at least every 10 minutes to make sure, you know, she hasn't gotten into something.
Yeah, this
I'm
is
guessing
kind of
that guy right there doesn't get asked to watch his kids a lot from his wife.
He won't anymore.
Nope.
Yeah, this is kind of a slam dunk here, Carol. Everybody's saying that there's no way to get out of this easily. You're just going to have to break away.
Well, and I think that you just tell her. I know what's going on. You tell your husband whatever you want to tell him. But I know what's going on, and that's why I'm pulling my kid out.
Right.
That's all we got.
Good luck.
Yeah, I say good luck because try to keep your side of it as drama-free as possible, because with a drama mama, which is what she is, your husband, I'm assuming, and your sister-in-law both get a little upset more so than you do, I would assume, with a mom like that.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
Yeah, so I would just try to stay as calm as possible, and if she starts in her God thing and all this stuff, just tell her, look, I know the truth. That's it. And so we'll deal with this when my husband gets back.
That's an easy one.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
All right, good luck.
Thanks for the call. Bye-bye. Here, Bert Show.
This is The Bert Show. Last week, Bert, when you weren't here, I did an intervention, staged an intervention. Melissa and Wendy had a problem with that Words with Friends game on their iPhones.
You call it a problem. We call it just fun. Old-fashioned fun.
What was your intervention, that they were just playing it too much? You're the one telling them that they weren't focused enough during meetings and stuff like that because they were on their phone.
Right.
That was your intervention.
Yes.
Oh, that's funny.
So, how did that go, you guys? You over it?
Oh, completely.
Yeah,
not
sure. I'm not playing that
okay,
at
see?
All.
So after that positive experience, I've decided that I'm going to do a lot of interventions.
We're eventually going to have an intervention for your intervention.
Right. Are you just going to try to hit, you know, somebody until they actually listen to you and change what they do?
I thought you said yours worked.
Play nods. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay. Of course it does.
So
email me for my Words with Friends password. Or
The intervention I'd like to do today is for Joanna.
Joanna, producer Joanna, is very excited today because Uruguay is playing, and that's where her parents are from.
Yes.
Uruguay.
I feel like I need to pat you on the back. And they play, Mexico, right? Yes, we're playing Mexico.
See, I said Mexico because I'm afraid of how long you're going to let that word go out. There, I want to be Latin boy.
And so the reason I want to stage an intervention, first of all, Joanna, you know, you understand that this room here is a room of love.
It's a room of comfort. Yes.
So, yes.
A nest. It's a nest of comfort.
I always feel comfortable when I come in here. Always.
It's a womb. And the temperature, I guess, is about the same.
Yes. So, it's moist like a womb in here.
So I think, you know, I'm going to state my case. And I think other people, especially those who have long-term relationship experience, are going to jump on board. Know that we are doing this out of a place of concern.
Okay. This is a full-on intervention here.
I think your marriage is going to fail.
Oh, damn, dude!
Why? Oh.
Because that's strong. Like, when are you supposed to get married?
And next year.
Now, Joanna's only engaged right now. She's not. They're not even getting married until next year, next May.
According to Jeff, I might have to call it off. Let's hear this.
And it's because of you.
Okay.
All right. So it's no big deal.
Of course.
Welcome to the nest of comfort.
So none of my marriages will last because of me.
Right.
It's not so because
you will not. You will not have.
Right. He thinks it's you.
Yeah. You will not have a successful future as a human unless you listen to me right now.
Okay. All right.
All right.
So, and here's what you have to understand about men. Men have egos. And these
nobody
egos,
is more of an expert on that topic than Jeff, by
the
way.
That's true. And he's credible on this one.
And egos need to be held and cradled and nurtured.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. And
built up.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm on board. I'm on board so far.
So when you send out tweets that say things like, trying to weigh the truck at a truck stop, Jason just asked me what an axle is. Isn't it sad I know and he doesn't? That's a blow to his ego.
But it is sad that I know what an axle is.
There's a lot of sad things about men, Joanna. It's a woman's job to keep them to herself. There's no reason for you to write things like, Jason is not a good gift giver. He wanted to give fudge to his friends who just had a baby. Fudge is never a good gift.
It's not.
That's fine. But Jason wants to do it, which means he is
what
wonderful
are you saying,
for
dude?
Thinking
Kiss
of it.
Kiss a dude's ass your right. entire marriage, and that's the only way it's going to work?
Jason's truck got stuck in the sand. I was no help because I was laughing at him.
It was hilarious.
However, a nice guy came over and helped us out.
Yes. How do you own a truck and it gets stuck in the sand? What's the point of having a truck if you can't ride on sand, mud, things like that?
Last night, I told Jason I need a pedicure. He said, why, baby? Did you find a lump?
Well, I'm trying to help him.
Oh, no.
All I'm saying.
Oh, honey. No.
Joanna.
Bless his heart.
From a place of love.
Did you think that was a mammogram?
Yes.
Oh,
how do you blame her in that case?
I think I may have lost.
Are you marrying a dumb blonde?
I am his better half. I'm trying to make him better.
Don't acknowledge that. That's you have to make him think he is a hero. You need to comfort him into understanding that there's a difference.
He is a hero. You do realize that's just some of the things I call him out on.
There are lots
of things I call him out on.
What are other things that you call him out on?
Well, just that he's not a very good planner about things. Like we moved and we had to move his stuff and my stuff, and he gets the smallest moving truck.
Oh no, you called him out on that. Moving day wasn't so bad, besides the fact Jason rented the smallest possible truck to match the smallest possible storage unit. You did call him out on that.
Right.
Oh, do you say this to him?
I'm just trying to make him better.
She's keeping him honest, man.
You're a guy.
Yeah.
Go on. What else are you ripping him for?
Dude, don't. Joanna, don't answer that.
Because right now I'm not in your camp on this. I'm totally not in your camp on this.
Yes, you are. You're trying to get her to say more crap.
No, I'm really not.
No. I'm just trying to tell you that Jason is not common sense smart. He's book smart. I mean, the guy went to West Point. You know, you can't be dumb to go to West Point. But common sense,
the guy could kill you with his fingernail.
He would, and he loves me. But I'm just saying.
Not for much longer. I'm just saying.
So your point is that if you're going to have a healthy relationship, then a woman should stroke a guy's ego all the time and basically lie to their face.
You say it with a straight face, Jeff. Look us in the eye and say it.
I have. Here's my theory. I will acknowledge that some guys have been known to do dumb things. All right?
Am I looking at that some guy?
Some guys have made mistakes.
He's talking about the history of time. He's only
right.
saying
over
a couple
the,
guys have done some stupid
in the
things.
History of time, men have done dumb things. Men have fragile egos that need to be protected.
Oh,
so
pumpkins.
When they do something dumb, like maybe get their truck stuck in the sand or try to save their family money by getting a small truck in a small storage area, rather than go to your Twitter account that is fed to thebertshow.com and viewed by dozens, you don't. Rather than advertise that fact, maybe you should, you know, say something like, gosh, honey, how did all that sand get under your truck?
You'll be bored out of your mind.
I would.
You're
going to
be bored out of your mind.
You know, I think that that's one of the great things about our relationship is that we can laugh at each other and our stupidity and the things that we do. Because trust me, there are things that I do. I mean, as shocking as that is, I do dumb things too.
It's not really shocking.
Name one.
I'm not surprised.
Well,
it's shocking. It's just shocking that she's going to name it.
Yeah, I would like to hear you name one.
Yes,
because
I want to hear one too.
I don't believe that you believe that.
Can't think of one right now.
I will say though, I only agree with Jeff in a slight way, like in a sliver of a way, because I don't like it when couples put each other down. And it does sound like you're not just like pointing out these things as like, oh, this is funny, but it does have a twinge of you putting him down.
You know, I did bring that up to him once. I asked him, I said, does it bother you when I say these things? And he goes, no, honey, he's like, you're my better half. You're making me better.
See, so he's subscribing to your theory, Jeff. Okay. Joanna is not.
Yeah, and it's all fun and games because right now he lives 300 miles away from you.
Not anymore.
No.
Yeah, now they're together.
Pretty soon you'll be able to put him down face to face every day.
I know, just wait till he moves up here to Atlanta.
Hey, Ashira, good morning. You're on the Burt Show.
Good morning, guys. I love the Burt Show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say to Jen Hobby, Jeff is completely right.
Joanna.
I have to agree with him on this one.
Yeah, Jen.
It's going to get a little bit worse if you continue to do it. Like you said, you all now live together. It's going to be really hard, especially when you get married. I think you should back up just a little bit. Give him a little breathing room. Like he said, a guy's ego is pretty much everything to him.
We're talking to producer Joanna.
Yeah, not Jen.
Not Jen.
Jen learned that lesson. Good morning, Shauna. You're on the Burt Show.
Of lessons.
Hi, guys. Hey. I wanted to kind of give Joanna some advice my mother gave me, which is that you never, ever disrespect or ridicule your husband in public.
Oh, yeah.
He's not my husband yet, so I can ridicule him all I want.
It sounds so 1950s-ish, yes. Though. Shauna, like, don't put your man down in public. Let him do what he wants.
You wouldn't mind putting him down.
Do what he wants. I mean, she can have arguments or you can have fun at home, but it's one thing for you to have that kind of relationship at home. It's another thing to do that out in public. They don't know that she's joking. People who may see him in business or whatever could think that she's just running all over him and treating him like dirt. It makes him look weak.
And he likes it, so that's all that matters. Thank
you. He's a sucker for abuse.
Yes.
This might be a really great analogy right here. I'm trying to get Ashley on. Mm-hmm. Hey, Ashley, good morning. You're on the Burt Show.
Hey, you guys.
Hey,
love you.
Hey. Thank you.
Joanna, a guy's ego is like a woman's weight. He doesn't want to hear about it all the time, and he definitely doesn't want it posted on his social network.
That might be a good analogy, like a good piece of advice right there. A guy's ego, talking about a guy's
like
ego, is like
weight.
A woman's weight.
Huh.
Interesting. That is a good analogy.
I'll take all this into consideration and then, you know,
then decide later not to do anything.
Right.
This is The Burt Show. You're on The Burt Show.
It has been a debate since the beginning of time. Is cheerleading a sport or not? And now it's going to court.
Yes.
It is.
Oh,
okay.
Yes, it's a debate.
Let's hear what the lawsuit's all about first. Yes. And I think that intern Brandon has a strong take on this, too, okay. So maybe we'll hear from him.
And it's kind of like a crooked path to get to this debate, because it's not just about the debate on, oh, well, let's bring respect to cheerleading, see if it's a sport or not. There is a university in Connecticut that has been trying to eliminate part of its budget. So what they did is they cut the women's volleyball team. Now, Title IX is a federal law that was passed in the 70s that says that, you know what, universities need to give equal opportunities to men and women in athletics at your schools. And so this college is like, well, we've cut the volleyball program for women, so what we're going to do is we're going to count cheerleading as a sport at this university.
Okay.
To try to, because they already had cheerleaders, so and I think my interpretation of this university is, you know what, we can't afford a brand new women's team. We can't afford the women's volleyball team. So since we already have the cheerleading squad, we're going to say, hey, that's the official sport. And that way they have fulfilled their obligation to Title IX. But basically it's brought into light, is cheerleading in a sport? Because that's what's gone to court, because the volleyball team and the, you know, other teams are like, about fairness in when it comes to Title IX and that particular university in that state.
All right, this is an easy one here. Is cheerleading really a sport or not? 1-877-588-BERT, B-E-R-T. 1-877-588-2378. You say yes, Jen?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is. I think it's an athletic sport. I think there's competition. I absolutely believe that it's a sport. I think it's an opportunity, especially for young women to start participating in athletics at a young age and all the way through. And it's co-ed too. So yeah, absolutely, it's a sport. Nobody
you're
can
using,
convince
you're using,
me different.
Like all your muscles, you're using leg muscles, your arm muscles to lift and push people up. Isn't a sport anything like using like any kind of movement? Like you're literally physically dancing. You're like pushing people off, you're doing
the only reason,
arm movements.
The only reason that it's ever questioned is because it was typically something that females did.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason it's in question. If it were something that
males did. What do you mean?
Well, because sports are a male arena, you know, that guys sort of have this sort of corner on, right? That sports is like a guy thing. And that's why they can sort of knock down cheerleading, is because it started as a girl thing.
I don't agree with that, because you've got women's basketball. You've got...
Now we do.
Now
because
you
of Title
do.
IX.
Title IX, this 1970s, you know, Title IX really kind of forced people to bring women's athletics to up to par to men.
It feels like two different things to me, like... Sideline cheering doesn't feel like a sport to me, but those cheerleading competitions that I'll pass by on ESPN and stay a little bit too long on that does feel like a sport.
Yeah, I mean, you can never convince me it's not. It definitely is.
Here's intern Brandon.
I mean,
who's known to dabble in sports from time to time.
Just a little bit.
And is a cheerleader.
Yeah, you know, I couldn't play, so I had to cheer. No, I think Title IX is what moved it into becoming a quote-unquote sport, just because it was on the sidelines at football games, and schools, when they had to become in compliance with Title IX, looked at cheerleading as an easy way to, we already have people to do this, so let's put them together in competitions. But if somebody goes in their recreational time and dances, we don't call dancing a sport. And that's essentially what competition cheerleading is. It's just dancing.
No, it's not.
I say dancing's a sport, too.
Aren't there Olympic
There's gymnastics, rhythmic.
No, there's dance now, too. Isn't there like
rhythmic gymnastics?
Yeah, and artistic gymnastics, which is more dancing.
But they don't call it dancing.
No, they call it gymnastics. Hmm.
Joshua, good morning. You're on the Burnt Show.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good, sir. Good. How are you?
Pretty good.
Okay, now your turn.
Yeah, what's your thought?
What's up?
My comment is that you guys said something about it earlier, about a male is not being able to, not doing it, and then not considering it as a sport, but, I mean, not really considering it as a sport, because males do it, but it's not as a sport, it's as a competition. And yes, they do that as gymnastics and stuff, so that's why I said it's more as a competition than it is a sport.
What's the difference?
How do you define the difference between sports?
The difference is you guys, I mean, as cheerleaders, they do it as a competition. One, because to see which squad is better than the other, and they got multiple squads. I understand what you guys are talking about. These sports, they got more people in there as well doing that stuff. But you got to think, you know, these are competitions. They're doing like gymnastics type thing, because gymnastics is more of a competition than it is a sport as well.
Hmm. Well, I have the definition of sport pulled up.
Oh, do you?
Is that with the dictionary
that Jeff got you this
week? Yes. I am already starting my summer reading, and I have went straight to the yeses to look at this word. No, competitive physical activity, an individual or group competitive activity involving physical exertion or skill governed by rules and sometimes engaged in professionally. Right. Sometimes engaged in professionally.
Okay, we look at the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. That's something that we... In the letter of the law, yes, gymnastics is a sport.
It's got rules.
But in the spirit of the law, sport is something in which the participants determine their own outcome.
It's governed by
like
rules.
Like in football, me and you playing determine our own outcome. In a competition, it's something where a judge or a third party would determine more of the outcome.
I think that's a bad definition right there. Ice skating, I would certainly say, is a sport, but it's determined by judges.
Well, they call it a skating competition. They don't call it, you know, a sport. You're not here looking at the sporting event of ice skating.
What about weightlifting?
It's a competition.
Bodybuilding.
They call it...
So you would say bodybuilding is not a sport?
Bodybuilding as an art is not a sport.
What about chutes and ladders?
Chutes and ladders is a very competitive sport.
Especially if you use liquor. There's a whole bunch of definitions.
Drunken wee is a sport.
Brian, good morning. You're on the Burt Show.
Yeah, I have to agree. As much as I don't want to, I have to agree that I think cheerleading is a sport. Like you said, there is competition. Mm-hmm. You go to practice every day, just like you go to football practice, hockey practice, basketball practice. You have to attend practice every day. Yeah, a judge determines the outcome of the competitions, but a sport is a sport. I mean, it's in the eye of the beholder. Some people think chess is a sport.
Mm-hmm. It angers me when chess is on ESPN.
It's a sport.
Or
that
poker.
Is not a sport.
What about poker?
That angers me also.
It's a sport.
Also.
It's poker's all a talent. In the definition.
I'm fascinated by the debate. I got to be honest with you. I'm fascinated by the debate and the passion for so what? So what if, you know, so what? Like, I learned about the appreciation of sports from my dad, who this, you know, Army dude, Army vet, big testosterone dude, but he loved basketball. He loved the sport of basketball, but he loved whoever played that sport, whether it was women, whether it was men, whether it was kids. He didn't care, because the important thing was the competition of basketball. He never got into this women are lesser than men because da 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 da. It was like he appreciated whoever came into the arena to play this game. And so that's why I'm always fascinated by these debates. I've heard this debate about horse racing, about NASCAR, about you bringing up poker. Who cares?
Who cares?
Golf,
who cares?
Someone said.
Yeah. I don't care. I just like to watch.
I think the fact that it has become a debate is because of Title IX. And it doesn't matter if it's men or women. I went to high school with Maya Moore. She can beat any guy that I know in basketball. It doesn't matter if you're men or man or woman. It's what schools and who defines it as a sport based on Title IX, because this was never a discussion before.
Well,
women weren't playing sports before Title IX the way they are now, because Title IX was put into place to force people to allow women to play sports.
I have final opinion on this, and it comes from a guy named King, I think, and I mean, that is pretty final right there.
If your name is King.
Yeah, if your name's King.
The King speaks.
That's it. What's up, King? What's going on?
Hey, y'all, I'm actually a cheerleading coach, and I've done this for quite a while, and I know a lot, actually, about what's going on. First off, cheerleading was invented by men at a college and was done by all men way back in the teens. So it will only transition to women when World War II hit. So,
does that make it more legitimate? I'm just curious. I appreciate the history, but does that make it more legitimate?
Well, the thing is, what happens on the sidelines is where competitive cheerleading came from. Mm-hmm. So what happens on the sidelines is really cool. I enjoy it. I did that in college at Georgia Tech. But that is not a sport. That's an athletic activity, appreciating helping on teams. Where it gets confusing is those people developed a sport out of it that's competition-based. That really is a sport, but since they do both, it kind of hovers between an athletic activity and a competition-based team. So now you have insurance that has to cover both, which that's where one of the big things that comes in. And Title IX actually does not like us because Title IX is meant to hover between a – it doesn't have co-ed sports involved. Title IX wants an all-girl or a all-boys sport. Since two of – there's like four or five disciplines of cheerleading, and four of them involve boys, that's where it gets all murky. So the one up in Quinnipiac, up in Connecticut, they are starting a completely new different type of cheerleading – that's all based on just girls.
So the king has spoken.
Yeah, the debate is over.
That's right.
The king has spoken. And this debate is done now.
And I'm glad King spoke the name of that university that I didn't do earlier because I couldn't pronounce it. But anyway.
I think it's called Quinnipiac.
Quinnipiac? That's not the way King pronounced it.
Nope.
I'm just saying.
Brandon, don't mess with the king.
I'm not messing with King. I don't want King to come after me.
Listen, it's The Burt Show. The Burt Show.
We want to get intern Emily on The Burt Show for the first time. This is her At Mic Music. Anytime we have an intern on, they've picked out their own music, sort of do their intro to. And Emily has a problem with her dog snoring. Is it keeping you up at night?
Occasionally, yeah.
Yeah?
What kind of dog do you have?
A Labrador Retriever.
Okay.
Yellow.
Okay. And what's the name?
Belle.
Belle.
And she
Any
snores.
Twilight reference, by the way?
Belle.
No, just curious.
My mom calls her Belle, or Bella.
Okay.
And then the rest of us call her Belle.
How big is she?
Maybe 60 pounds.
Okay.
She's about a year old.
And she has some snoring problems that are keeping you guys up? We have some audio of this dog snoring.
Oh, really?
I mean, describe before I play it, like, how bad is it in the house? Is it keeping everybody up?
Well, it's only me. She sleeps with me. She loves my bed, even when I'm not there, when I'm away at school. She is on my bed all the time. So she sleeps with me, and it's not bad sometimes, but, you know, occasionally in the middle of the night, she'll wake me up. So
that's another conversation for another time, sleeping with your dog. I just can't do that, man.
Really?
No. Hair and the fur and stuff in your bed.
Oh.
Too clean for that.
Poor pancake.
Well, how would I lift him up and to get in our bed? He's 60-something pounds now.
That's the reason why he's chewing.
I'd be out for another 4 weeks if I try to lift that dog up. All right, so this is your dog snoring.
Yes.
This is right next to you in the middle of the night.
Yes.
That's great.
Oh my God,
quarantine.
Good God.
He needs a doggy nose strip.
A little puppy breathe right.
What? When is the last time you got a good night's sleep, if that's what you got to deal with all the time?
Yeah. Actually, the first night when you emailed me and wanted the recording, she didn't snore at all. I was like, don't go five days without snoring when I need it now. And then she did. But if I fall asleep before her, I can usually get a good night's sleep, but that's rare. So
I fall asleep. You're talking about a dog right now.
Yes, I know.
This is how a lot of couples live, but this is you and your dog.
Yes, this is me and my dog. Like, she sounds like a grown man.
Yes.
That's bad.
That's great.
Sexy.
Get it? The Burt Show.